Last month, Last month, my best friend came for a visit. He is a medical doctor. His specialty is palliative care. He works in the Highland Hospice in Inverness in Scotland. During the visit, we got to talking about our, we spent a lot of time talking about our work, but on this one particular day, we were talking about our work, and I mentioned that over the past several years, it seems to me that people don't die anymore. They pass. What about Scotland, I asked him. Do people still die in Scotland? No, he told me, it's just the same as you. Our whole society spends an enormous amount of time and energy trying to avoid the reality of death, even the word. What about death? On this All Saints Sunday, as we give thanks to God for the lives of sisters and brothers who have died in faith, what about death? Shouldn't we Christians be clear about death? Will you pray with me, please? O gracious God, into your hands we give those dear and precious to us. And we ask that you give us a glimpse of the joys of the promise that you have for us, the life that comes from you. Amen. I want to start with the scripture from Revelation. It comes from the seventh chapter, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where are they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye." I want to point some things out in this text. If we can go back to the first slide, please. First of all, did you notice who is at the center of the vision? Do you notice who's at the center? At the heart of this vision, at the heart of all the praise, all the glory, this great multitude, the angels and the elders and the four living creatures, the songs and the joy and the glory, at the center of it all is God, the Lamb who's the shepherd, the throne of glory. Though all this activity activity seems to swirl around the throne, dancing with glory like a kaleidoscope spins around the centerpiece. All of this, the languages and the images that John gives us here, make it clear that all of this joy is the result of what the Lord has done. Salvation belongs to our God. Salvation belongs to our God. That's a way of saying with awe and wonder and the fear, not scary fear, but the awe that God has done this. This is God's gift to all of these people, all of these creatures, all of the whole host of heaven. Salvation belongs to God and to the Lamb. Joy is the result of what the Lord has done. Secondly, this great multitude no one can number from every nation and every clan and every language, this great, great host of people, these are those who have died. I know it doesn't say anywhere in these verses that they've died, but the symbolism is of those who have died. The white robes in which they are dressed, the palm branches in their hands, these are the symbols of those who have died. In the ancient world, white was the color which was associated with that which was not of earth. If you're an ancient history fan like I am, you remember the stories of the Roman senators, and they wore these special togas, and they were white, signifying that the senators, unlike the common people, the plebeians, were closer to the gods. But even those white togas had a purple stripe or several purple stripes through them. White was the color of the shrouds in which the dead were wrapped. White still is in China and Japan and most of the Orient, the symbol of mourning, of grief, of death. You remember the story of Peter, James, and John seeing, going with Jesus up to the top of the mountain, and there they see him transfigured and his clothes become dazzling white. They catch a glimpse of Jesus' heavenly, non-earthly glory. White in the ancient world was the symbol of that which was separate, apart from us, and death was the dividing line. And the palm branches, the sign of victory, the sign of triumph, the sign of victory, of conquering, given to those who have died. Carried by those who have come through the great ordeal. The time of testing is over. That's what the palm branch means. The time of testing is over. They haven't just passed. They haven't just squeaked by. In Christ Jesus, they have conquered. Like their Lord, they have won by suffering death, not by hurting others. Third thing, the presence of the holy dead brings joy to heaven. Next slide, if we could, please. One of the elders says, who are these? Where do they come from? We were talking about this last week. Paul and Russell and Brooke and Sean and Glenn and I were talking about this. And Paul says, why does the elder ask the question of John? And Russell said, and I love Russell's response. He said, I hear this kind of like when you're at a game and your team is doing really, really well. And one of your friends turns around and says, who are these guys? What got into them? Where'd they come from? It's a sense of delight, of pride in what the home team is doing. of what is accomplished in them. Who are these guys? What's got into them? This sense of joy, of pride in another. There's joy in heaven at the faithfulness of God's people. Yes, in you and in me, as we live in Christ, there is joy in heaven. And at the last, what a delight there must be. I mean, we see it here. Fourth, those who've died in Christ are more alive in the resurrection. Did you catch that here? Look at the last three verses. They're before the throne of God and serve Him night and day in His presence. They are in the presence of the Lord. They worship Him night and day. Now, folks, I love y'all, and I know that y'all love me, and I know that y'all love Sean and the band, and it's great to be here, but I don't think any of us would want to spend night and day here doing this, what we're doing now, right? I mean, it's wonderful, but it is not yet the worship of the courts of heaven. But yet, for those before the throne of God, there's no getting tired of it. There's no getting weary. There's no saying, okay, I got someplace else to be. Being with God is so much better, so much more real. Shelter will shelter them with His presence. God Himself is the shelter of those who've died in Christ. No more hunger, no more thirst. Sun, no more sunstroke, no more getting hot and bothered. They're no longer subject to pain or weakness. The Lamb will guide them to springs of living water. He will be their shepherd. Christ provides joy and life. The springs of the water of life are not necessary for our physical thirst. They are for our hearts and souls' delight. God will wipe away every tear, grief and loss, gone. Gone. Today's All Saints Sunday. Today we will remember those of our church family who have died in the last year, who we believe are among that great multitude no one can number. They are more alive in Christ's resurrection than you and I who sit here in this place. 20 of our fellowship, whom we name in gratitude for all they have taught us about life in Christ. As we speak these names, as we light a candle, the symbol that they have died, and yet they live in joy, and continue to love and pray for us. We remember. And yet, don't we kind of sort of also anticipate? Stand on tiptoes in our souls to see if we can see just a little bit further across the horizon. See if we can catch a glimpse of that great multitude standing before the throne and the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God. Carol, will you come and light the candles while I read the names? Lynn Blanchard. John Brimberry. Vi Claxton. John Irwin. Dorothy Faulkner. Raymond Heller. Frank Hendricks. Margaret Ann Hendricks. Barbie Keel. Roy Keel. Phil Kneifel. Roy Mark. Janelle Marlowe. Roy McKee. Stan Perry. Marion Robertson. Morris Ryan. Billy Settles. Ruth Taylor. Sonny Williamson. Lord, we thank you for these, our sisters and brothers, for what they have taught us, for what we have learned, for the promises that you have given to them and to us, that all who love you, all who serve you, will be received into your arms of love. So, O gracious God, for all of us who grieve and mourn still, we pray that you would fill us with the love which has no ending, as it has no beginning, because it is you. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I suspect that all of us at some point in our lives have had a special someone who has died, who we still grieve and still mourn. And so what we've done in addition to these candles lit for the 20 of our church family is on both sides there is a box of sand. And we want to give you space and time and silence. If you want to, you don't have to. But if you want to come and write their name in the sand, to do that as a way of remembering. Are their names going to be overwritten? Yes. But before God, they do not pass away. I don't know about you, but when my days here are accomplished, I don't want to pass. I don't want to pass to squeak by, but in Christ to conquer. I don't want to pass to appear to be someone that I'm not. But in Christ, I want to be fully myself. The man God has meant from the beginning for me to be. I don't want to pass to get around something, be it fear or the ordeal of life or death itself. But in Christ, I want to endure the cross for the sake of the joy set before me. When my life is done, I want to die, not pass. I want to die so that dying I may be raised in Christ, raised to new life, to resurrection life. What about death? Christians know, like everybody knows, that death is real And it's scary. It's scary because we don't know, we can't prove what's next. The deaths of our dear ones, our family and friends. These 20 here and the others written in the sand of the boxes, the sands of life. Each death leaves an aching void in our life. A space that can't be ignored and it can't be covered over with polite smiles. Grief and loss stay with us all our days. But, you know what they say about a but? It cancels out everything that's gone before. But, Christians believe that death does not have the last word. Christians believe that what St. Paul told us is true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we come to the Lord's table. That's why. We believe that this mystery is not simply communion with God. And it's not just communion with each other. And it's not just communion with all Christians everywhere around the world. It is each one of those. And it is also communion with all those who have lived and died in faith. We know, we believe that they are more alive than we are. And their love continues. And their prayers continue to surround us and encourage us and shape us. The writer of Hebrews uses this wonderful image of a great race. A foot race. And he talks about all of the great heroes of our faith. This goes all the way back to Adam. And then Abraham and Sarah and David and the prophets. Talks about how there are so many more that we don't really know. And then he says, go look it up. It's in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Since, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all of these who have gone before, sitting in the stands, watching the race. I know the Westbrooks have been to races. They've been there watching Blake run. Since, therefore, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every sin, the weight that clings so heavily, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy set before him endured the cross. Can you see them? Look deep in your heart. I bet you can. They're in the grandstands. This great cloud of witnesses. Cheering us on. Praying for us. You go, girl. Come on, guys. And so we come to the table of the Lord. To celebrate in joy the mystery of our salvation.